Welcome, everybody, to the fourth ever What is Spiritually Sustainable Earning? Actually, the topic for today is the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus presents Bringing Balance to Our Spiritually Sustainable Earning. And this is our fourth call on Sunday, October 13th, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. GMT, et cetera, et cetera. My name is Lottie, and I'll be your host for this call. And I am a debtor. We will now begin with a moment of silence for the still suffering debtor, followed by the serenity prayer. If you would like to unmute your phone by pressing star 6, we can say it together, and then we'll have you mute yourself again by star 6.
God,
press star 6 to mute yourself. We have four speakers today. DA members who will speak on topics, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. The overall topic is bringing balance to our spiritually sustainable earning, and we have subtopics that you'll hear the speakers reference at will. The first one is, what is spiritually sustainable earning? The second one is, finding sustainability in freelance earning the DA way. And the third one is using VA's 12 steps to achieve spiritually sustainable earning. After the speakers share, we will have open sharing, and attendees can share for 2 minutes each. At the end of the call, attendees can stay on the line to exchange contact information. The open shares will not be recorded. Okay, we're also joined. Paul is serving double duty as timer today. Thank you, Paul. And he's also our first speaker from California in the USA. Paul, you'll have 12 minutes. And are you okay with timing yourself, or do you need someone else to
take? Yeah, no, I'm good with timing myself, Lolly. That's fine. It's easy.
Great. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Lolly. Thanks for the introduction. And my name is Paul. I am a compulsive debtor from, I'm okay with timing myself. Let me just get back to, okay, here we go. Yeah. My name is Paul. I'm a compulsive debtor from Sacramento, and my home group is Tuesday night, Spiritually Sustaining, Progress Not Perfection. I got mixed up with our call today. Progress Not Perfection group. We meet at 6 p.m. on every Tuesday in Sacramento. And I've been a member of this caucus since it was started. And it grew out of the 2016 World Service Conference. It was authorized at the 2016 World Service Conference. The first time we met was at the 2017 World Service Conference. And I think, Lolly, have you been chairing this caucus since it started? Well, maybe she's muted. I think Lolly's been the chair since it started.
Yes, I have, Paul.
Okay, good. Thank you. So it grew out of a lot of interest in or concern about or kind of connection to the concept of under-earning, and we wanted to expand that and so to encompass earning on a broader level, I guess I would say, that that the concept of spiritually sustainable earning you could be earning not enough, or you could be earning too much, or you could be earning a lot. And, you know, it's not really the character or the type of the work or its spiritual content, so to speak, when we talk about the work being spiritually sustainable. I think there's been some thought. I've heard, you know, a lot of times we talk to people, and those of us who are on the caucus get a lot of questions about, you know, really what really is spiritually sustainable earning. So again, it really doesn't have anything to do with the type of the work, or again, its spiritual content, but rather, can it sustain your spirit? And I want to tell a story here about a friend of mine who he had a professional license in another state. He had moved to California, and he found himself having a lot of difficulty passing that licensing exam in California. And his work just wasn't really happening in any way that he was happy about. And so he started looking around, and he got a job at Trader Joe's, and he had to show up at 4 a.m. to stock shelves and so on. And he talked to his sponsor about it. And the two of them, between the two of them, they decided that, you know, this is work that you could do for a while to kind of bridge over or get you to the next step in your work history, in your career. And so his friend of mine started doing that, and he did it for about a year and a half, and it gave him the income that he needed to pay all his bills, save a little bit, and, you know, because of the hours of it, he was off at a fairly, off duty at a fairly reasonable time during the day. And he was able to prep for and eventually pass his licensing exam in California. And he now is working in in the field that his education is in, and he's earning at a higher level than he ever has in his life before that. And so my point of telling that story is that it's really that work that he did on the crew at Trader Joe's for a year and a half was spiritually sustainable for him at that time. It really, it kind of got him out of his worry about not having enough money, and he had enough money for that period of time where he could focus on some other things like prepping for his exam. But on the surface of it, and this is what he talked to his sponsor about, the work didn't really, you know, it wasn't really in his imagination for, you know, he didn't ever think of himself as, oh, I'm going to be on the crew at Trader Joe's. But his sponsor said something to him like, what's the downside? And there was no downside. And it ended up helping him bridge over to the next piece of his career. And so I just want to add also that at this 2019 World Service Conference, a concept for a pamphlet titled Earning was approved. And so the Literature Committee will start working on that at some point, and the concept was approved at this World Service Conference. And so back to the topic of what is spiritually sustainable earning, and it's what I have found for me is I really want to, and I've been somewhat successful at this, I want to get my earning into a place where it allows me to have time for other things, all the self-care things that we know are so important. Sometimes in Debtors Anonymous, we say it's not about the money, but it is about the money. So what else is about? Well, it's about self-care, and a lot of us who end up in 12-step recovery, and for me, I think especially in DA 12-step recovery, we are not very good at self-care when we get here. And so can we have work that where we're earning enough, but also that allows us time for other things in our life, like time for service work in whatever programs we might happen to be involved with, time for exercise, time for family, time for friends, time for whatever else sustains your spirit besides your work. So all those self-care things, can we find work and do work that allows us time to do all these other things that we know are important to sustaining our spirit and our life? And I'd like to talk a little bit about the sustainability in freelance earning the DA way. So freelance, it tends to imply that you have a business of some sort. I know about a lot of members in our program who have businesses. And so if you do have a business and you're working with this concept of spiritually sustainable earning, you should really make sure that your business is making a profit. And do you have a business plan? And do you know what your goals are for that business? Do you know what your hourly rate ends up being? And are you okay with that? And can this business help you earn in such a way that you do have time left over for all the other things that I was talking about a minute ago? And also, do you get to the point with your business where maybe it was making money at one time and now it's not making money anymore, and yet you've got so much of your personal identity wrapped up in it that you find it difficult to let go of it, even if that might be the appropriate thing to do? A couple sure signs of this for me are, am I taking money from other assets to try to keep the business afloat? And when I think about getting new freelance work into that business, do I have a thought about, or a fear about, or a dread, I guess I would say, about, okay, now I've got this work, now I've got to get it done somehow? And so I guess my point about having about freelance work and having a business, and I've got 2 minutes left here. Having a business that you're trying to create spiritually sustainable earning out of, it's easy to get sidetracked and to let that business kind of drive you instead of the other way around, or that you find yourself sustaining the business instead of the business sustaining you. I have personal experience with this. I had a business for 18 years that ended up was successful. You know, you don't have a business for 18 years without it being successful for some number of years. And so, but towards the end, and because of things that happened in the economy, that business became really untenable. And what I know about it now is it probably would have made more sense for me to have let go of it much sooner than I did. I'm now in public sector employment. I often say God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. When I did finally have to let go of the business after the wheels fell off, God led me to I'm still working in the same field, but I'm working in the public sector, and I have a very responsible, challenging position, but it's also very engaging for me. It uses my entire skill set, and my earning is at a level that I'm very happy with. And it's still somewhat of a challenge for me to keep the boundaries around this work, the way I'm wired up, and I think a lot of us are, it can be a challenge, even with this new job I have, this new employment I have, to keep it within the time frames that allow me to do all the other things that I spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. all my self-care activities. So that's it for me. That's the end of my 12 minutes. And my name is Paul, and I'm a compulsive debtor.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for that fantastic share and sharing your experience and strength and hope. We will move on to our next speaker, Janine. And Janine, take it away. Oh, Janine, could you let unmute yourself? Actually, I'm gonna reset the mute just to be sure, and then I'm gonna have you unmute yourself again. So I'm going to do a mute all across the board, and I'm going to have you star six. And Janine, are you there? Janine, press star six to unmute yourself. Janine, are you there? Press star six to unmute yourself. Janine?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Well, yes, I unmuted everybody, but I'm going to press star five again, and then I need
but
to press star six.
Yeah, when I tried to unmute it, it said that I couldn't because the call was muted.
Okay, let's try it one more time.
Okay.
Okay, try pressing star six.
Ah, I think that's better. Can you hear me now?
Yep, there we go.
Okay,
great.
Something weird
and please let Paul know how you would like your time.
Oh, yeah. Paul, could you do... 5, 5, and 2. Okay. I'm presuming he's muted. okay.
Go ahead.
Well, my name is Janine, and I am now living in Tucson, Arizona, and I represent SDSR, a Monday night DA meeting here in Tucson. And I came to conference last August, GSR for that meeting, and I had an opportunity to sit on the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. I had tried to 2 years ago, but it just was so overextended and had to step away. So I'm really grateful that I could be on the caucus this time. This particular topic is very important to me, and the earning side in DA has always been important to me because when I came into program and I just took my 9-year chip in September, I started in Los Angeles, actually in Pasadena, and I my home meeting was a BDA meeting. I'm also a BDA business owner, and I had a hard time identifying as a debtor because I didn't really have any credit card debt when I came in. I've since come to learn I'm kind of a sloppy bookkeeper, but that's not the primary issue for me, and so I would just use the word under-earning because there was an under-earning pamphlet on the table, and I said, well, that's part of DA. I'll just heard a lot of people identify as under-earners, so I decided I would adopt that way of introducing myself. But it didn't always feel quite right because in my career, and I've had a business for 35 years, I have earned a lot of money. So it didn't seem like under-earning, and it wasn't at the time. I was able to do everything I wanted to do, everything I needed to do, everything I wanted to do, including saving up quite a lot, which thank God, because things did change around 2007 and pretty dramatically, and things plummeted. And then I really felt like I was identifying as an under-earner, because I had difficulty earning. And, you know, admittedly, I was quite stubborn about, staying in my profession, which actually kind of makes sense for me because I'm so specifically trained and I have had a very long career in it. So it didn't quite make sense for me to veer off that path too far. However, I did, and I tried to. I mean, I did everything from, I went to bartending school, and my profession is as a visual artist and a designer. So I'm in a business side and an art side that really worked very well together. And I purposely went around looking for things to do that had absolutely nothing to do with art and design. So all kinds of things, but they did allow me to make money so I could pay my bills. And there were two things that I heard early on in the meetings, and one was the willingness to earn, and that led to my also taking a part-time job at a place where I was doing what I'm trained to do, but for quite a lot less money than when I did it on my own. And I thought, well, I'm grateful to be providing my creative services to an organization that needs and appreciates them, even though I'm making really not nearly what I should be. So at that point, I did identify with the earning side. And the other concept that I really heard early on in DA that I loved is God is my employer. And that's always going to bring me to a spiritual place with my earning. And I definitely hold on to that idea today, and I'm grateful for it as one of the things that has been a huge help. It's not about creating something fun for my ego, because that could be kind of common in the creative field. But more, how am I contributing and being of service in wherever I choose to do this work, or wherever I'm led to go, that is of service in a bigger, kind of a bigger way. And that's made a big difference in my life. It, in some ways, it takes some of the focus away from how much I'm earning. That being said, it's important that we earn enough, and here's where the balance is, to feel that we're providing for ourselves amply for the things that we need and the things that we would like to do. For me, one of those big important things is saving, and somehow I'm wired that way, so that's served me well. But in addition to that, I want to feel like I enjoy and contributing on a day-to-day basis through my work positive things for myself and for whomever I am involved with. And
Janine, there's your first 5 minutes.
Thanks, Paul. The thing I have to be careful about is I tend to overextend myself, and that could mean taking on a lot of work that, gee whiz, am I going to be able to get this done in the time frame? And I've been under a lot of stress lately getting work done, but I've recently relocated, moved my business, and I'm not inclined to say no to paying work unless it's just really an ill fit. That's because if I'm going to rebuild my business in a new geography, and one that's very different from where I came from, then I have to do the work. You know, I feel like I have to show up and do the work. I feel very fortunate that really wonderful opportunities are coming to me, and I anticipated that it would take 3 years to rebuild my business in a new place, and I'm about a year and a half, and I feel like I'm about where I need to be. So it's come with a lot of hard work, regular DA attending, regular service in DA, and I also do service in other groups in my community, and that's where I have to be careful not to overextend. And there is that tendency. Right now, I don't feel like I'm really earning quite enough, but I also feel like I've been blessed with these opportunities to stay in my creative profession and to be able to hopefully expand that in other ways, things that I've always wanted to do. And I now live in a place where I might be able to have some of that pressure relieved in both the DA sense and just generally. It's like, have this pressure relieved from a constant hamster wheel and what was a good solution for me was moving to a place where it's less stressful and that I can, it has all the things that I need as a city that I can pursue my creative work with a little bit more peace of mind, actually a lot more peace of mind. And that's been really wonderful. So I do look to my higher power for signs and indications, their opportunities, and it's up to me to recognize them and then to do what might be the appropriate action with them or not, because I really have a firm belief that I'm very action-oriented, but that my higher power is one that's really driving things, and I have to recognize the opportunities that are placed before me. And sometimes something might be placed before me that's not the right thing, and the way I figure that is that it's not really my higher power in my life. It's just something in the world that's gotten in front of me, and it could become a distraction, and those are the things I want to be careful not to sort of partake in. So I do feel very blessed that I've been allowed to stay on my creative path and to provide my services based on the things that I've been trained to do, because I did kind of come full circle from my starting out in my business in Los Angeles and then tried to veer off the path very intentionally. That was my thing, because I was sort of angry at the profession, the way it was affected by the economy and by technology, and I just kind of got sort of angry about it, and I decided I don't want anything to do with it. I'm just going to do something else. I'm going to go bartend. It's like not a passion, you know. It's just a way to earn money. So, but I kept getting put back on the path, and I also took part-time work a few years back when I was first in DA, and I got such a kick out of it because I haven't been an employee for very many years in my career, and I just thought, oh, I have a job. It's kind of fun. To me, it was kind of a neat thing to go to a place of work and sit in somebody else's desk and do work, and I kind of really liked it. I did that for a few years, and the interesting thing about that job is it set me up when I came to Tucson to serve a similar type of a community and do work, because I now had learned and experienced how to navigate that type of a business, and for somebody else. And now I'm a contractor, freelancer, doing work for a similar organization here in Tucson, and that's been my bread and butter here. And it's very, very satisfying. So, and I believe it's leading me to meet others. So this is all...
Janine, that's your second five. You've got
2 minutes. Thank you, Paul. Is that I really believe that my higher power has created this path for me, and I envision myself walking on it, and which way should I go? Should I go this way or that way? And I choose something, and if it's not the best one, I get looped back around to the same places. I've come full circle, and that's a great thing. I started my business when I was about 24, and I'm 61 now, and I'm restarting the same business in a new place in a new era. It looks a little different than it did, you know, 35 years ago. So I'm grateful for DA. I'm really grateful for this caucus and this new idea of spiritually sustainable earning. It's a broader look. It's not just under earning. And it's going to mean different things to different people. And I can tell you that the people in the meetings here are very intrigued by it. And I was very intrigued by it. So I'm excited about being part of this part of DA's growth. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share. And I will end it now. Thanks, Lolly and Paul.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you for your excellent share. Now I just want to take a moment before we go on to our next speaker to share a couple pieces of information, a couple pieces of business. And one of them is that the speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all the speakers have given their consent by participating in this to have the recording uploaded to the DA website. So all people around the world will be able to hear the podcast, which is actually at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcasts. So you can access this at a later time on a later date. And while we don't take time for the seventh tradition on these, typically, there is a nice little link if you'd like to donate right on that fellowship podcast page, a nice little donate button if you'd like to give seventh tradition. And moving along, Roger, also a member of the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus, and I do want to mention that a few of us spoke at Fellowship Day. Actually, three of us spoke at Fellowship Day, and unfortunately, those were not recorded, so they couldn't be made available as podcasts. So I'm very thrilled that we have most of the speakers from Fellowship Day, from our shares at Fellowship Day, to speak today. So, Roger, take it away.
Hi, Lolly. Hi, everybody. Thanks. My name's Roger. Paul, just let me know when there's a minute left.
Okay, you got it.
I am a debtor, and I am a GSR for a meeting Monday, a BDA meeting Monday night in Pasadena, California. And I've been a member of the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus for, this is my second year in that. And it's something that I feel very close to, something that I think is very apropos at the moment, because I have been in a real transition over the last really four or five years with my earning. And when I saw that there was something called spiritually sustainable earning, I had to find out what that was, because for me, earning has always been a spiritually unsustainable emptiness. I would earn money and just feel terrible about it. It was never enough money for what I wanted or needed. I felt really guilty charging my clients money for work that I didn't feel like I was worthy of. And when I did get paid, and sometimes I got paid, I did make a lot of money, I just felt like I had to work more because they were paying me so much, and what I did wasn't good enough, so I had to do more. And I kept basically beating myself up over the fact that I was struggling. And when I look back now at those years, I realize that I was making pretty good money. I'm a visual artist, and I had a number of really good years painting murals in hospitals and places like that. And I had a crew of people that would work with me, and what I noticed that over the years is that when I started out, my vision was to be an artist and eventually to be a mural painter. And I found work in various fields, working for interior designers, working for private homes of wealthy people, painting murals for their kids. And I felt an emptiness, and I started to take it out on my clients, thinking that I was getting jobs that were not spiritually fulfilling. And so I think that there's an aspect of my work that is spiritual. In other words, I had offers to do murals in casinos, and I turned those down because I felt that the environment was very negative, and I didn't want my work to be associated with that. And working in kids' rooms was fine. It was a kind of like an uplifting thing. But at the same time, working for wealthy people, I began to judge them, and I began to blame them for my lack of spirituality. So eventually I isolated myself from all of my clients, thinking that I had to move into something that was more spiritually fulfilling, which I did. I kept moving on and changing my path, but at the same time cutting out the projects that I had. So then I would have to reinvent myself over and over again. And finally, I basically went into debt because of that. So finally, I found DA about 4 years ago, and I had really gone deep into self-deprivation and using my credit cards and not paying for things and putting, you know, all the things that are the typical DA way that gets you into the program. And so when I found the program, it was such a relief for me and such a blessing, because there was so many people there that had similar experiences. There's a lot of creative and freelance people in DA, and I had never found a place where I could go get support for my business. And I had tried once, and I just found that the people that I was talking to didn't understand what a freelance business was all about, or what a creative business was all about. And so I was kind of depressed, and I went back on my own way. And when I found DA, I was like, oh, this is great. But I had, in the meantime, I had, 30 years of wreckage to cover up. I had tax problems. I had employee problems. I had, and at that time, I had very little work coming in, too. I was doing a lot of work in public schools, which was paying very little. And I was just living off of that and my credit cards. So when I got to DA, and I used the tools of the program, and I had a PRG, and I took the PRG's advice, which was to get my health insurance back in, and I had let my health insurance go, and so then I got that back, and soon after I got that back, I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and so it was just a blessing right from the beginning that I found DA. And since then, I'm all cured with the cancer and everything, so I'm very grateful for all that. But I did have to reinvent myself and how I would make a living, because my way of making a living before was mural painting. It was very physical, climbing up and down, scaffolding, and all this kind of stuff. And I can't do a lot of that stuff anymore, so I found another way to kind of reinvent my passion for painting and still work with people. And this came out of a very intense 12-week earning pamphlet that I did with an action buddy, also as a result of being in the program. And from that earning pamphlet and from the earnings, the thinking about the earning for that long, I started to come up with a vision for myself, and I started to believe that vision was my spiritually sustainable earning path. And that was this year, actually, and this last 2 months have been an incredible journey into that vision, and I've been working in that vision. And the only thing I would say is that when you ask God or higher power for help, you got to be very specific. Because I asked God for help on a project to steer me towards this vision project, because I believed that it would be spiritually sustainable for me, that I could charge what I needed to charge, and that it was doing good for humanity and for the people around me. And I still believe that. But when it comes to balance and spirituality, and I believe balance is a part of spiritually sustainable earning, it's not something that we need to bring to it. I think it is inherent in it that you can have a vision and earn in a vision, but that's not enough, and that balance is important. So when I say balance, I mean time for my family, time for my service, and time for self-care. And those three things are the hardest things for me to stay on top of. And it's so much easier to just focus on my passions and my vision. And I love what's happening with all that stuff, but not at the expense of giving up my personal life and my family and just getting so involved that, you know, I can't be here to do this service or do these calls or whatever. So I'm really loving the program. I'm really loving the caucus. I'm really loving this particular topic of earning money with a strong foundation under me so that I can constantly talk to the people in my group, the people in my committee, the people in the caucus, and I could, you know, I come up with this thing that just like in a prudent reserve, your money, the spiritual donations come first. That means that if you have $10 and your goal is to give $5 of it to your spiritual, that you put that $5 away first and then you figure out how to live off of the $5. In spiritually sustainable earning with the service time, that I do that service time first.
One minute, Roger.
Great, thanks, Paul. So yeah. that time for service comes first, right off the top of my this. We all have the same amount of hours in the day, or whatever. So after that service, then I have time for family, for balance, and then some time for earning, and that within that time for earning is enough money to cover all of those things. So whether I live on a small amount or a large amount, that's not the spiritual part. It's living within my means and bringing the balance to it. And with that, I will turn this back over, but I am so grateful for being here today and for getting to talk about this, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Roger. Fantastic. Okay. Paul, I will go next. I'll go last. And would you please give me 10 minutes, and then just let me know when the last 2 minutes are. So just one notification would be great.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Lolly. Great. Okay. Hi, I'm Lolly, and I'm a debtor. And I am very pleased to get to have another go at sharing my story. I am the chair of the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. It'll be my third and last year chairing, I believe. And since its inception 3 years ago, and it's been a pleasure serving with everybody on that. And these calls are such a pleasure because we really get to talk through what does spiritually sustainable earning mean to us, and how do we get that, and how do we do that the DA way? And I really like specifically that component, doing it the DA way. What does that mean? And I do want to say that we had a wonderful segment of Fellowship Day. The caucus was able to have us speak on Fellowship Day, and I was disappointed that they weren't actually recorded because of a technical malfunction. And so, you know, I'd never shared my story before. I'd never shared on a fellowship-wide call, and I'd wanted to, so it's nice to get a chance once again to share. And the funny thing is my circumstances have changed since Fellowship Day, which was in August. And at that time, I was working for an employer almost full-time. It was 28 hours a week, but it was earning abundantly doing what I love. And on top of that, I also have other streams of income. Those streams of income I still have, but the employer, unfortunately, made major cutbacks. And so I found myself in a unique position. Since sharing at Fellowship Day, my circumstances have changed very much. So now I am looking for more work, and I'm taking earning actions, and I'm also taking vision actions. But one of the things that I find is that sometimes I'll have a tendency to, and I think I heard the other speakers mention this, put a lot into my vision that is not necessarily going to result in earning. I actually heard another speaker say, if you've got a business for 18 years, it's got to at some point be successful. And I can disagree with that because I think it's possible to have, especially if you're an artist, in my case, I'm a musician, to have a business for a long time, which you just keep putting money into, but never actually, you know, gives a whole lot back. It is possible to do that for a long time. But I can say that my music business has been able to sustain me. And it certainly over the past years has sustained me more brilliantly than I ever has in my entire life. And I think that comes from working the DA program, using the 12 steps, using the tools. This is doing it the DA way. It's using the 12 steps. It's having a sponsor. It's using all the wonderful tools we have available. It's making outreach calls to other people in our program. Particularly when I say DA way, I think of taking small actions in small chunks a little bit each day or each week, a la the tools game, which is something we do in California. We do a tools game where we learn to take small actions, like just 10 minutes a day, life-changing small actions, and that could be 10 minutes of earning actions. So for me right now, that's what I'm finding. I really do have to give attention to earning actions because my vision actions don't necessarily directly result in earning. I'm not above getting a Trader Joe's job for a year and a half if that's what God would have me do. And that's another part of it for me. God is my employer. And even when I'm earning abundantly doing what I love in my vision field, God is still my employer. Sure, my money might be coming from a major corporation, but my true employer is God. And so the other streams of income I have, equally important, also my employer is God. And thankfully, I still have those streams of income, those other ones that I kept going for the past year and a half while I was working for this large, major employer. I also continued to develop these other streams of income. And so what that for me is actually teaching music to students privately in studio, but also doing workshops and master classes. And so that, and then also doing performances with my own sort of ensembles where I'm I'm driving that and I'm the leader of that. So that's what my life looks like, multiple streams of income. And so I'm a big, for me, when I think spiritually sustainable earning, I think, okay, that means I've got to do two things. It means I've got to take direct earning actions and give attention and a priority to earning if that's, you know, if God is leading me towards Trader Joe's or whatever, if God is leading me towards more students that I can teach. But it also means taking my vision area actions, even if that's not necessarily fully sustaining me, or maybe it is, but I have to trust that I keep taking those visionary actions. So I think for somebody with maybe a full-time job, that maybe feels like, well, my job isn't in a creative field, or I'm not a creative. How do I, what's my vision? What am I doing with my vision? You know, there could be something, and I find there's a voice inside me, something that I want to do that is fulfilling, and it feels vulnerable to me as well. It feels very vulnerable. And that for me over the past 3 years has been working on my album. And lo and behold, the week that I got let go from this this job with this employer, you know, it was a really abundant job, but that same week I also started a contract to finish the album that I'd been working on with a record label. And this was a big deal. It's very scary. It feels kind of vulnerable finally finishing it and putting it out there, and actually is taking quite a bit of money. It's a financial investment. So I've put a lot of money into something that at a certain point I'm not doing it for the money. It's something I feel that is beyond that. And will it be financially rewarding? If it breaks even, I'll be happy. So I'm not looking at it necessarily as even directly, will it affect my career in really big ways? Yes, this is actually affecting my career in very big ways already. And it's making it bigger, and that's scary. But I do believe I need to continue taking those vision area actions as well as the direct earning actions, you know, still looking for more, you know, education clients, or continuing to put myself out there to teach workshops, or whatever God would have me do. So interestingly enough, the name of this fellowship-wide call today, we called it Bringing Balance to Our Spiritually Sustainable Earning, and one of the speakers pointed out, and I agree, that is almost an unnecessarily redundant phrase, because I think we've come to understand that spiritually sustainable earning does mean balanced. Because if we're working so much that we don't have time in our lives to do some service and to be with our loved ones and to go get a massage or to go on a Friday night and see the ball game, if we don't have time for that because we're so busy working and stressing out, then that's not balanced, even if we're making a ton of money. And similarly, if all we're doing is spending time looking for visionary works and work, and we're turning down everything that isn't the way we, you know, if we're under earning because we're not balanced as well, that's, you know, that's also not spiritually sustainable. So I think we could have titled today's talk just Bringing Balance to Earning, or we could have titled it just The Spiritually Sustainable Earning, because I really think that is, we're learning that's inherent in that phrase, I believe. So what God, I'm trusting that God, whatever I say today, I'm trusting that God will speak through me.
That's, you know, 10 minutes, Lolly. Right. You've got two minutes to go.
Ooh, thank you, Paul. Yeah, I'm trusting that God will speak through me what needs to be said. And what else did I want to share about that? I am currently freelance earning. I'm exactly doing that. And it is much more comfortable to get a paycheck every week from an employer, especially if it's doing something you really love. That's really comfortable, and getting benefits every week. That it's very difficult to be a freelance business owner, or you know, you're taking all the risk when you're a business owner. And, you know, for many, many years, I didn't treat my business like a business. So when I was in college and I first started debting big time with credit cards, I already had a business. I already knew that's where I was going and what I wanted to do, but I never treated it like a business. And so when I joke about spending 18 years doing a business that's not successful. I remember at one point I was getting my taxes done by a tax guy, and he said, you know, Lolly, after a few years of taking a loss every single year and, you know, getting all your taxes back, you're going to have to start showing a profit somewhere, or this will no longer really be a business. It's going to be a hobby. And, you know, what I realized is, yeah, I guess a business is at some point supposed to show some profits. And also, I, you know, just hadn't been thinking of it in terms of a business. It was just, it's so personal in so many ways, you know, when you're an artist, being a musician or whatever kind of artist or whatever kind of business owner, it feels vulnerable and personal, and sometimes there's passion involved in it. Something you want to succeed very desperately, but at the same time terrified of putting it out there to the world, because failure in this way is more personal than, you know, obviously getting let go from work feels pretty personal too, but it's, you know, it's, there's something about it. So,
That's 12 minutes, Lolly.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share and letting me be of service. And thank you, Paul, for timing us. And also, thank you to all the wonderful speakers today for sharing their experience, strength, and hope in this area. We are going to end the recording, but not before I mention one more time that this recording, they're no longer doing playback numbers. They're actually now doing podcasts on the DA website. So you can go and listen to it at debtorsanonymous.org. And also consider donating as a seventh tradition for these podcasts. DA is very grateful and still in need of our contributions. Which you can do right on that Fellowship Podcast page under the Donate button. Okay, I'm going to turn off the recording. Bear with me for 1 minute, please. Okay.